Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 11, or through 14. So if you want to open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 14. Blessed is the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavens in Christ. For he chose us in him before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless in love before him. He predestined us to be adopted as sons through Christ Jesus for himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace that he lavished on us in the beloved one. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace that he richly poured out on us all with wisdom and understanding. He made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure that he purposed in Christ as a plan for the right time to bring everything together in Christ, both things in heaven and things on earth in him. In him we have also received an inheritance because we were predestined according to the plan of the one who works out everything in agreement with the purpose of his will, so that we who already put our hope in Christ might bring praise to his glory. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and when you also believed, were sealed in him with the promised Holy Spirit. He is the down payment of our inheritance until the redemption of the possession to the praise of his glory. Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to hear your word from Pastor Frank. Father, we pray now that as he shares your word with us, that our hearts would be open, that our minds would be open to what you want to speak to us this morning. And Father, as we leave this place, may we not just merely be hearers of the word, but doers of the word, as you transform us through the work of your Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for the opportunity to be here today. It's a real privilege and a joy for me to be able to worship with you and to proclaim God's word. Josh read the copy right, but you know, growing families grow. We have 3 children, 27 grandchildren. Those are both stable numbers. But the third number is changing. And now we recently had 2 more great-grandchildren, so that makes 17. And 2 more are on the way this summer. So it's a growing family. You might ask who I am, and I could tell you, well, I was raised on a farm over in Fulton County, about 20 miles west of Canton. I know how to milk cows, feed pigs, and bale hay and straw, and how to carry it out afterwards as it needs to be done. I could tell you that I have the privilege of being a graduate of Moody Bible Institute and now the honor and privilege of teaching online for that great organization. I have served, interestingly, I was sharing with Lisa earlier, 4 different places that we served as an interim couple. Our first one is in northern Illinois in Garner, Iowa, close to Mason City, close to Minnesota. Our second was in Williston, North Dakota, in the middle of the oil boom. Winters where people lived in their cars because there was no housing, in weather that would make us all have heart attacks, typically. You know, it was not unusual for the temperature to be below zero and everything goes on just like it would here if it was 30 degrees. And then we went to Derby, Vermont, way up in New England, 4 miles from the Canadian border. We learned a lot about the border there, quite an interesting experience, and then we served at Monunk, Illinois. I could tell you that I'm a man who loves Jesus, and I have a passion in my heart like the written in the book of Acts about David. a man after God's own heart who wants to do God's will. That is a passion of my heart, deep. But who I am is better described in the Scripture than by reading my biography. And that's an important thing for each of us to remember. This passage begins in a powerful way that is a statement that each of you can say yourselves if you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. I am blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Every spiritual blessing. Now, there's so many blessings of knowing Jesus, but the Apostle Paul, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, highlighted seven of those in this passage. And we want to look at them as a bird's eye view this morning. I will not do it, but I could preach seven sermons on this same passage because there's so much about them. The first one begins, if you notice there in verse 4, but I'll read verse 3 to put us in the context. I'm reading from the New English Standard Bible. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. What a powerful statement. He chose me, you. That blows my mind. Why me? Just a country kid from nowhere? But he looked down and chose me to be a child of his. Wow. I can't begin to imagine why. But then it goes on to say it was before the foundation of the world, before the world was created, he made that decision. What a blessing it is that we would hear the gospel, respond to the gospel, and choose to follow him. Except we see he chose us. We are very, very blessed, to say the very least. He chose us so that we would be holy and blameless before him. It's like over the door as we came in, it would say John 3:16, whosoever will may come. But as we went out, we would say, chosen in him before the foundation of the world. I can't explain that apparent dichotomy, but that's what the Scripture says, and I believe the Scripture. Powerful statement. Notice over in chapter 2, verse 10, another important factor. We are his workmanship, a piece of creative art, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which he prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So he chose us that we would be his piece of art to the world. And that we would glorify Christ in the way that we think, the way that we talk, the way that we live life. That other people looking on would say, you're different. I was recently out of state and went to a presentation. And the opening words of the sales lady was, are you a pastor? Blew my mind. I still don't know why she had that guess. Except she said, I felt it in my heart. I don't have that testimony often, but it's the testimony each of us ought to have, that as people deal with us, whatever it is, that they sense the presence of Christ in our lives. But he not only chose us, he also adopted us. And that is in verses 5 and 6. In love, he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace with which he has blessed us in the beloved. Well, there's a lot to say there, but he adopted us into his family. Our older son, who lives four houses from us in Bloomington, over a period of number of years, has adopted 7 children. 2 of them they picked up at St. Francis Preemie Center and brought home a few days old. 2 more they came into their home when they were 3 months old, and the others various ages. The point I make, that Preemie, or any of the boys, one daughter, had absolutely nothing to do about being chosen to be part of the baby family. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. And that's the way you and I are with Christ. We had no merit that would justify him choosing to adopt us into his family. We were, as Paul says it in Romans, we were enemies, alienated from God. And yet he said, I love you so much, I want you to be part of my family. Will you accept that? Neither you nor I can contribute to our salvation. The often quoted verses in chapter 2, again in verse 8, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. What a powerful reality that we each must humbly admit, that I was adopted and I had nothing to do with it. Adoption is a powerful word and very interesting. But periodically, I say to one of the boys, you know, Beatties don't lie like that. Beatties keep their commitment, and you need to also. Children of Christ, yeah. We need to be sure that we think and speak and act as children of the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Creator of all the universe. We need to live and act like Christians, even if we're upset with some person who's supposed to be doing us a job. We are adopted into his family. When I understand that privilege and blessing, I'm stunned that he would say, you are my child. I love you, and you are my child, beloved child. But not only are we chosen and adopted, he goes on to say that we're redeemed and forgiven. And you may hear me say redeemed and forgiven, and you may hear me say them separately. But notice then in verse 7, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom, making known to us the mystery of his will according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ. In Christ alone, the song that we just sang is such a powerful statement. My hope is built in Christ alone. I have no guilt in life, no fear in death. Why? I know my slate is clean, and I will be accepted by the Father because he chose me, he adopted me, and he extended to me unconditional forgiveness. As 1 John 1:7 says, the blood of Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. It's really, literally, keeps on cleansing us from all sin. And verse 9 goes on to say, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and purify us from all unrighteousness. I catch myself every once in a while saying, Lord, you know, I did it again. And I think in heaven he must be saying, what does he mean? I don't remember him doing that ever before. Because he purifies me upon confession of all sin. He holds it as far as the east is from the west. He has forgiven our transgressions from us. It is only through the Lord Jesus Christ that we can do that. You know, sometimes we use the word redeem in a pretty loose manner like a basketball player who misses three free shots and then he makes one, we say he redeemed himself. That's exactly contrary to what the Bible says when it talks about redeem. We cannot redeem ourselves. It's only Jesus who can redeem us. It is only his precious blood that has the power and the authority to cleanse us from all sin. We are totally helpless. It's only Jesus through his blood. Forgiveness. I do enjoy sports, but I don't watch much of it. But I like to watch the final 2 minutes of a football game. That's really what's important in the game. And I like it when one team is obviously winning. They've got it won. And in those final 2 minutes, the coach is still wanting to be sure that they finish the game with excellence. And then you see a couple guys go over to the cooler and pick up the cooler and come behind the coach and drench him. That's God's forgiveness. You are drenched in his forgiveness. Complete. It doesn't matter what you've done, when you did it, whatever. In Christ, we have redemption and forgiveness of our sins. But not only are we chosen, adopted, and redeemed and forgiven, we are blessed also with being informed. Verses 9 and 10 make this clear. Making known to us the mystery of his will according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. Again, there's a lot there in that verse, those verses, but I will focus on part of it. He has made known to us the mystery of his will. Some years ago, I was talking to a man in his 70s who had fairly recently accepted Christ as his Savior. And in the process of his salvation and the working of the Holy Spirit in his life, he became convicted that he needed to leave an organization known as a secret society. Les and I were having a delightful conversation that afternoon, relaxed. He was very casual and open with me. He had given his time now to the church and helping their Awana program be a good success. And after a while, I said to him, "Well, Les, what about the secrets of this society?" Suddenly, things changed. His body language changed. His facial expressions changed. The tone of his voice became fearful because he realized in that organization that if he revealed anything, he was under the threat of death, even though he was no longer affiliated with the organization. Jesus is the exact opposite. I like what the apostle says in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1. Paul says, "This is how we should regard us as Christ, how one should regard us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required of stewards that they be found faithful." See, Jesus says, you are to be a steward of the mysteries. How can the Creator of the universe offer to me forgiveness for what I've done or not done? That's a mystery. And it's only through Christ who has informed us that we can have that mystery revealed to us, that we can share with people that God brings into our lives on a day-by-day basis. God uses many people, many things, to point us to walking in the mysteries of Christ. He uses the scripture. He uses friends. I've had friends say something to me that if they knew what was going on in my life, they would never, ever have said what they said. But the Holy Spirit used it to convict me of something I needed to address in my life. I've had my kids do that too when they were young. God uses many ways to minister to us, and he challenges us to be stewards of those mysteries, to reach out to many people. What a privilege it is. In 1 Corinthians 15, to turn over a few pages, verse 51, he puts it this way. I'll pick up at verse 50. I tell you this, brothers, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. For us who know Christ, we have no fear of death, or at least I hope you don't, because I know that when I'm absent from this body, I'm present with the Lord. It is not how much good I've done. It's not any of those things, because it's only Christ who pays the penalty, the price, for my entrance into heaven. What a blessing that is. It's beyond description. First Peter puts this blessing in another way in First Peter chapter 1, no, chapter 3. Or, well, no, it's one chapter 1, verses 3 to 5. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. We are informed by God. The question I stick in my own head is, what do I know that Abraham didn't know? Wow, I am informed. I know that Jesus came to earth. God became man. He was crucified, buried, and rose again. Symbolically, Abraham understood some of those things, but he had no concept. We are so blessed, just unbelievably blessed. I was raised with one version of the Bible, King James, and then the Living Bible came out. And today we have so many versions, it's hard to count. And you can use them out of the scripture, or on your watch, on your phone, on your computer. We are blessed. We are informed. God wants his mysteries to be made known to people who need to know him as personal Savior. Why did he do this? Notice it says, according to his purpose. See, everybody, Jesus wants everybody to know his purposes, his mysteries. Look at Philippians chapter 2. In this powerful passage, Paul writes in verse 10. Forgot for a minute. So that the name, at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Notice those two words, every. It's repeated there. Fact of the matter, it's repeated in verse 9. And verse 9. Every name, every person. God wants every person. As Peter says, he's not willing that any perish, but that all come to repentance. One of the benefits of being informed is it leads us to wealth. I'm blessed because I'm chosen, I'm adopted, I'm redeemed, I'm forgiven, I'm informed, I'm wealthy. Verses 11 and 12 say, in him we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we may be the first to hope in Christ, might be to the praise of his glory. The purpose of his will. Now, Josh read from a different version than what I have, but in verse 5, verse 9, and verse 11, the purpose of God's plans are highlighted. God, in his eternal sovereignty, had these blessings designed for you and for me. Powerful, powerful blessings of knowing Jesus Christ personally as our Savior. How we can live life is so rich because of that. In Romans chapter 8, Paul puts it this way at verse 15. He says, "For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father." He's writing out of his rich language background, being trained in Hebrew and the commercial language of Greek. The first word, Abba, is the letters for the Hebrew word, Father. That is not translated. It's always, I think in every translation I'm familiar with, is Abba. And the second word is a Greek word for Father, Patrice, which he is saying, I can come to my Father and call him Daddy, whatever personal name you call your dad. You can come to him and talk to him in that way. He is concerned about you. And so he says that powerful word, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. My mind is blown again that when the inheritance of God is distributed, I'm a fellow heir with Christ. I can't even begin to get my mind wrapped around that. That one of the blessings he has lavished on me is that I'm a fellow heir with Christ. Wow. Unbelievable, isn't it? It blows our mind. According to God's purpose, we are wealthy people because we hope in Christ, which ought to impact our values, our way we live, the way we think, the way we talk, the way that we walk. That's a good question to ask ourselves. How does the privilege of being a fellow heir with Jesus Christ, a child of the King of Kings, impact your life? How does it impact your life on, shall we say, Tuesday afternoon? The way you talk, the way you think, the way you act. We need to live like a child of the King. But we come to that final one, which we also sang about in our worship time. We're chosen, we're adopted, we're redeemed, we're forgiven. We are informed, we are wealthy, and we are sealed. 60 years ago, in February 1962, I met a girl that I thought, now she's somebody to talk to. And we dated some. Our first date was very romantic. We each had to get a library card at Chicago Public Library, and I invited her to go with me on the city transit to go to the library. Now that's really romantic, isn't it? Well, I've learned better. And on Thanksgiving weekend, I went to meet her family and get acquainted with them. They all came over en masse. Finally, the last one left about 2 o'clock on Thursday morning, Thanksgiving, November 22, and I asked Judy if she'd marry me, and she said yes. She later told me she had been praying that God would give her a husband who was a pastor. So So God answered her prayers, and she's put up with me almost 59 years. Yeah, God gives his children an engagement ring. Now, I've forgotten the word that Josh read, but notice in verse 13, in him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, there's important steps there, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire the possession of it to the praise of his glory. The engagement ring. The word is a very interesting word. Ephesus was a lumbering town, and the word that is used there is what a buyer for the lumber company would do when they went down and saw all these logs floating in the water at the dock. Any log that he wanted, he would brand it on the end with their company brand, and it would say, that one's sold. It's mine. We do that with cattle out in the West, where cattle roam, but the cattle have a brand, and nothing can take that brand away. It is the owner of that brand that owns that cattle, that cow, calf, whatever. Our earthly illustration is an engagement ring. Except it's different in that you can't back out of that engagement, or at least you ought not to. It's a personal commitment that says it's a finished transaction, a guarantee that Jesus will complete his work in us. As Philippians 1:6 says, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will complete it till the day of Christ. Our sealing by the Holy Spirit is his guarantee that he is going to do what he said. Romans 8:9 says it in a negative sense, that every person who knows Christ has the Holy Spirit, and if you don't have the Holy Spirit, you're none of his. John 5 says it very simply, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has crossed over from death to life. John 5:24. What a powerful blessing. Because of Jesus and his work for you, for me, we are blessed with every spiritual blessing. As I wrestle with this text again this week, one of the questions I ask myself, and you may want to ask it of yourself, in what ways might your life need to better live in the joy and wealth of being a child of the King? Another question I ask, in what ways might my life need to change to demonstrate that I am a child of the King? Who am I? Not my biography. I'm a child of the King who has been blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ. My wife and I read a devotional at breakfast, and yesterday's had this verse, 1 John 3:1. How great is the love of the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. Praise God. Amen.